Greetings, fellow dog people. Welcome back, or if you're just joining us for the first time, welcome to the Rocker Dog Podcast, where we talk to musicians about their dogs and the positive aspects that having these creatures in their life bring. I'm your host, Tim Dill. My dog and executive producer is Charlie the Golden Doodle. And today we welcome to the show Ryan Clapham of the band Cannons, who just so happened to have recently held the number one spot on alternative radio with their hit song, Loving You. Ryan and Cannons are starting a sold-out run of shows this week in Berlin, Cologne, Paris, Amsterdam, and London. And these are his insanely intelligent rocker dogs.
Yeah, I have Banjo and Hocus.
Okay, and I noticed they've got full names. Banjo Bruce and Hocus Cornelius.
Cornelius. Oof. Yeah, he's Cornelius. So when we first picked up Banjo, he actually had a name. We picked him up as a puppy, but he was Bruce first. And I think they named him Bruce after the shark from Finding Nemo because he was a bit bulky and he was just like constantly hungry for food. And it kind of stuck. It just rolls off your tongue really easy too. Banjo Bruce. He has so many nicknames, but Banjo Brucey Baby is definitely top of the list. And then Hocus Cornelius. He's a corgi. At least we think he is. I mean, he looks like a corgi. I think he's like a corgi hybrid something or another. Yeah. And then Floof, I think they just kind of, you know, I was anticipating maybe a little bit more fur on him, but he's not as floofy as I thought he'd be, but the name stuck too. Okay. And he goes by a dozen nicknames as well. I actually call him Schnitzel more than I call him Hocus, which is funny.
So Banjo goes back quite a ways. He's about 9 years with you guys, and that kind of coincides with the band's inception. So I'm curious to, this is a question everybody gets, but I'm curious to the context of bringing Banjo into the fold. What was going on at your life at the time? What was going on with the early part of the band at the time? So what's...
Sure, yeah. So my wife, who's my girlfriend at the time, we had just moved out into a into a one-bedroom apartment and for some reason thought this would be the perfect time to get a dog. I think around that time, the band had just started as well. But yeah, we were checking out some local shelters out in Santa Clarita, and I came across this particular breed. Banjo's he's a blue heeler, Queensland heeler, Australian cattle dog. They got tons of names. He wasn't the dog from the shelter. We weren't able to rescue that dog. She ended up getting adopted before we could, but I like fell in love with that breed for some reason. And my wife and I did our research on what a Queensland heeler is all about. And I really don't think we were not prepared, especially for being in a one bedroom apartment. But yeah, we ended up finding a woman who was giving away her puppies on Craigslist, which is funny because that's actually where I found Michelle, our lead singer.
Big
Craigslist fan. Yeah. And Banjo's been in our lives pretty much my entire relationship with my wife and pretty much the band. And he's literally eaten through the security deposit at the old apartment. And he's, you know, it's part, once we were invested, it was just like, okay, we knew what we were kind of what we were getting ourselves into, but yeah, like not to the full extent, but, fortunate enough now to have a bigger house and a backyard that he can play in, which is funny because I think maybe he became so acclimated with the apartment that he really doesn't even care to go outside in the backyard. So weird.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things I learned with this podcast, I wasn't really familiar with, I heard the term working dog all the time, but I didn't really put two and two together that it just means they're super smart and they've got this drive to this energetic drive to just never stop moving.
They're insanely intelligent. I think a lot of people call them like the velociraptors of dogs. And yeah, they constantly need a job. I mean, we were like, okay, cool. We could go on hikes. No, it's like you have to backpack like the Alps with these dogs. They never get tired.
What was kind of the early, I mean, you insinuated that you did do your research and you weren't fully prepared. And that's actually the first thing I wanted to talk about was, you know, did you know what you were signing up for? What was just the early indications? Was it just this, especially as a puppy, was this dog just full blast all the time?
He's 9 years old now. He's kind of slowed down a little bit, but, you know, constantly chewing on things. Like I said, he basically ate through our security deposit. I'd come home, there would be part of the corners of the wall missing. Carpet was gone. I remember going to like Home Depot and trying to find those sample pads of carpet and just like sew it back in any way I could. But yeah, when we got hip to the idea of like him being a working dog, we knew that we would have to constantly be as active as possible with him just to make sure that, you know, his energy, because like if he's home alone and we come home and the place is destroyed, it's not his fault, it's our fault. So right. Try to drain his energy as much as possible, which is really challenging to do.
I bet. Gosh, I should have got an Australian cattle dog when my son was three. He was the same way. It's like just kind of run him ragged all day so he'd go to bed at a decent hour. Yeah, if not challenged, they get into mischief. As you talked about the rugged stuff, any other, has he ever gone above and beyond destruction?
Well, yeah, I mean, so they are known to nip at the heels of, you know, of cattle. And people too, they don't care. They're not subjective at all. I remember one time, we were playing catch outside of the apartment. We had this like nice little grassy knoll and he was still a puppy then, could totally keep him off a leash. He was great. And then he got the idea of people walking around with a bag. He saw this woman walking back with her groceries and it was over after that. He went straight for her, like, grabbed the bag, ripped the bag open. She obviously freaked out. And I was like, what has happened? And, you know, going on walks with him after that was really, really challenging. We tried harnesses, different types of collars. Like the only thing that would work is the gentle leader that goes around their snout.
Yep.
That really helped. So it's not like it's not so much that he was pulling, but like if someone walked by with grocery bags, he would lunge for them because he's such a food driven dog. It's insane.
Huh. I didn't realize that also. Gosh.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that scenario. Well, on the positive side, they are super smart as we did discuss. And your social media shows at 11 weeks, him sitting down, laying down, doing a bunch of these, you know, basic commands. And I believe you took him like through a Petco training.
We did. Yeah. We took him through a basic Petco training course where, you know, we could teach him how to walk on leash and just kind of get the fundamentals of how to basically be a little bit more alpha and train your dog. And my wife and I became kind of obsessed with that for a few months. Just, this is great. We have this really intelligent dog. Let's try to teach him as many tricks as possible. So within a short amount of time, I think we were able to teach him, you know, lay down, sit, bang, bang, which is always a crowd pleaser.
Yeah.
He's the type of dog that constantly knows what's going on. Like he's just so intuitive. It's insane, which is good and bad at the same time. And they're also like, I think most dogs very like clockwork. You know, he wakes up every day at the same time. Sometimes he tries to wake us up a little earlier. And if we do give into that, he knows the next day, like yesterday they woke up at 7:50 instead of 8 o'clock. So he's a very, very smart dog.
What's kind of his routine? Like, does he need to go out fairly quickly or again, can you guys have a cup of coffee first and then?
His routine is to bark as loud as he can around 8 o'clock. Used to be 7 o'clock. And I think we were just like, just don't give into this because if we do, he's going to have power over us. Yeah, his routine is he eats in the morning, and then as soon as he eats, he goes out, and then we try to give him a walk around the block. We come home, we do our work stuff, and then again, we try to go on another walk. We used to play catch in the backyard until Hocus came around, and getting him acclimated with Hocus, it's still taking a little bit of time. It took a few months. I think he likes Hocus. He'll definitely lay around with him, but I still think he's like, who is this new guy and why did you bring him into my place?
Good lead in. Why did you, what was the impetus for bringing Hocus into the equation?
Because we did get a bigger place. We thought it was, you know, we learned our lesson, like having a small place, especially for a dog like Banjo, is just, it's not a good idea. And I highly suggest if anybody decides to go that route, try maybe if a friend has that dog or something, pet sit that dog for a week if you can, see what you're getting yourself into. Yeah, just having a bigger space, Banjo's, you know, he is getting older, although that dog breed does live, you know, hopefully forever, but 12 to 15 years. And we thought, since I'm on the road a little bit more, you know, my wife's at home, if she ever goes out and about, at least we thought maybe Banjo would have like a buddy to just hang out with. So we didn't want to keep him home alone all the time.
Yeah. And did you guys read up on how to acclimate two dogs, especially, you know, these dogs that probably couldn't be more different?
Yeah, no, we did. We went down the rabbit hole of that as well. University of YouTube, man, that'll teach you a lot. we ended up, I think if I'm not mistaken, we tried to get something that like smelled like Hocus from his previous owner and bring it home for a little bit so Banjo can like sniff it out and be like, what is this? And then obviously brought them outside into the backyard before, you know, meeting each other, because like dogs are so territorial, especially blue heelers. Just bringing another dog into the house right away, we knew that was going to just be a bad idea. Yeah, they got along right off the bat until Banjo discovered, wait, the sleepover is like really, really long. Like this guy hasn't gone away. And then for like a month, it was hard because you could just read the expression on Banjo's face. Like, oh man, I'm not the chosen one anymore. This guy's not leaving.
What are the sleeping arrangements in your house? Do the dogs sleep separately? Or are they with you?
No, they're all over the place. Banjo has had a dog bed for years. And he knows go to your bed, but I think just growing up with dogs my entire life, I really don't mind at all. They're on the couch, they're on the bed, they're under the bed, you know, under the covers. We like it. Sometimes it's obviously very uncomfortable because Banjo for a blue heeler, I think ended up becoming a little bit bigger. We've seen blue heelers out in the wild and they're like half the size of Banjo. So it kind of makes me wonder if Banjo is mixed with maybe like a German Shepherd of some sort, because he's like a whopping 70-pound dog.
And I think they're supposed to be. Oh, wow. That's funny. Yeah. I wouldn't have guessed that from the photos.
Yeah, he looks compact, doesn't he? He's pretty big. He's pretty intimidating to people, too. But yeah, don't mind. Don't mind them sleeping in the bed at all.
And what about Hocus's demeanor? I mean, I know the corgis I come across, they're so, you know, just physically, they're very sweet looking, but they're the ones that are always barking and like lunging.
I listened to one of your podcasts about you talking about a corgi down the block from you being a natural born killer. Yeah. And you are absolutely right. He's the sweetest dog in the house. As soon as he goes out there, man, he completely changes his demeanor. He can see another dog from across the street and he wants, I don't know if he necessarily wants to attack them, but, he definitely wants to claim his alpha, which is really weird because this is him on the shirt. He's like this big. He definitely has that Napoleon syndrome going on. Great dog, though. Absolutely.
I forget the breed itself too. They are like a hunting breed, aren't they?
They're actually a working dog as well. They're oddly enough bred to herd cattle as well, which is really weird because they're so small. But and he might not also be 100% corgi too. He looks like he could be some type of Australian Shepherd mixed with a corgi, because he definitely has this very interesting coat that screams Australian Shepherd.
Yes, very much so. That's funny. You know, back to, I guess, to the both of them, it seems like you guys, you know, they don't hold you back, and they probably, given their energy, they encourage you guys to get out and about. I know you're seem to be big hikers, but they've been to the ocean, they've been camping, you know, so it is a great breed that you don't need to, you know, find a sitter to not take them somewhere. So do they help? Is that sync up with your personality, or they kind of push you out to do more things?
No, I'm definitely more, I feel introverted. I feel like my wife kind of is in the middle of that, but that is something that, you know, getting older, I wanted to do. I wanted to break out of my shell a little bit more. I wanted to go on hikes. I wanted to go camping, and just having a companion that I knew he was benefiting from doing those type of things would be just such a great addition to the family. So Hocus, on the other hand, you know, I think he's okay with long walks. He actually surprises me because he's got such little legs. Mm-hmm. I heard they can get really tired easily, but he can surpass Banjo's energy on hikes these days. Banjo's definitely slowing down, being 9 years old. Hocus is kind of one of those wind up Energizer bunnies. He just doesn't slow down. And you're just like, how is this little dog doing this? Yeah, I don't know. It's great though. Getting out and doing more active things with your dog. It's better for everybody, I think.
Yeah. Now, being a self-described introvert, does it also have the aspect of when you have a dog, someone's going to talk to you? Like it opens up, there's an immediate invitation to open a conversation with a dog.
What do you, like talking to the dog?
No, like being out in public, someone's going to say, oh, beautiful dog, or where'd you get that dog? Or is that a, you know, there's always a conversation starter when you're walking a dog. So does that put you in a more comfortable situations or uncomfortable situations? Or does it force you to be
I don't mind that at all. No, I don't mind that at all. As long as they don't have grocery bags in their hand, you know? But especially Hocus being such an interesting looking dog. He's people come up all the time and they're just like, what is he? And I'm like, I don't know, a corgi of some sort. And then Banjo gets mistaken a lot for, even when he was really, really young, for an older dog. And I think that's because of his coat. It's blue. It's like gray and in the sun, it almost looks blue. So a lot of people, you know, back in the day when he was like 2 years old, they're like, oh, an older dog. I'm like, no, he's only 2 years old.
Now, in terms of life events, I know you mentioned you moved, you got married. Was Banjo wasn't part of the wedding at all, was he?
No, thank goodness. He would have jumped on the table, ate the cake, probably tore a couple of, bridesmaid dresses and stuff. But we were thinking about it. We were kind of contemplating the idea of maybe having him involved in the wedding, putting on his tuxedo or something. But no, he wasn't involved.
Cooler heads prevailed. I can imagine. I can imagine. My notes say just, you know, from the, I guess these, I get most of my stuff from like the American Kennel Association, but they said they're very loyal to your
Absolutely.
Point that they're close to you, but wary of strangers. Do you see that aspect in
Yes. them? Yeah. They're the type of dog that picks one person, you know, they're just like, okay, this person's obviously the leader of the pack kind of thing. Or maybe like this person's feeding me more in the morning. So they definitely pick that one person a little bit more. They do not like most dogs, they do not like the doorbell to be rung. Any commercial you're watching and it has like a commercial with like a doorbell sound, you're done for like the next 10 minutes. I wouldn't say they're scary or like intimidating dogs. Like our friends come over. You definitely just have to be patient with the dog and be consistent. They jump, you know, they like to jump on your chest and sniff you out. And, you know, there's been a handful of times where I've had a friend come over and they've left with their shirt torn because Banjo just gets, it's just excitement, you know, he wants blood or anything.
Yeah. Hey, they should be flattered.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I assume when you go out on tour, your wife can accommodate you at sometimes and sometimes not. Who do you trust the dogs with when neither one of you can stay behind?
We're pretty fortunate enough to live pretty close to her family, who also have dogs. They come over, they watch them. It definitely took them a little getting used to because they have their routine. You know, they're also the type of dog where we've kind of trained them to sit and wait for the food. And then on the command, they go for it. And people were like, you guys are crazy, but we're like, no, this helps them. They like this type of stuff. So yeah, we're fortunate enough to have some friends come over and watch them.
Do you feed them with those like slow eaters or anything like that?
Yes, that's a great question. I started to realize Banjo doesn't chew food. And there were times where he would just regurgitate all of his food. And we ended up getting, I think he's been on the slow feeder for a while now. And We just instantly bought a slow feeder for Hocus as well, just in case. Banjo's definitely more food driven than Hocus. Both of them love food, but I noticed Hocus, when he's out on a walk, food is like the last thing on his mind. I think he's just the type of dog that has so much mental, you know, stimulation going on. Like you said, he's a natural born killer. He probably just wants to kill other dogs.
I'm looking for my next prey.
My next victim, for sure. But yes, so slow eater is the way to go.
Going back to your social media, I did see some other animals. And I think, is Boris the cat still around?
Boris the cat is not still around. Unfortunately, when Banjo was a puppy, Boris was around. I think Boris only was around for maybe like 6 months.
How was Puppy Banjo with the cat in the 6 months they had?
Puppy Banjo was really, really great with Boris, which is kind of another reason we got Banjo as a puppy, because I had this cat and I didn't know if, like, I brought in an older dog, is my cat going to be eaten alive by this older dog? But no, they were buddies. They definitely got used to each other very, very quickly.
Okay. And what about, is there a dog, this goes back to 2013, Mark Twain, is that a dog?
Mark Twain is another nickname that I gave one of my parents' dogs who passed away 5 years ago now. Dog lived a very, very long life. His original name is Polo. For some reason, I called him Mark Twain. He looked like Mark Twain to me. I don't know. He had this, like, fun hair.
Okay. And then last
you did
but
your
not
research.
Least,
I love it.
Well, it's all on social media. That's what I love about the sure. show. Last but not least, all I have is Ronnie James Dio. Is there a dog that somehow is either named or inspired by Ronnie James Dio?
That's another nickname that we gave a dog. Man, that dog, his actual name escapes me. I think it might have been, it sounded like Dio or something. And I was like, I'm calling this dog Ronnie James Dio. He was great. He was a Rottweiler. And okay. He was my wife's old roommate's dog at the time.
Okay. Now, as a whole, this question should already be answered by everything we've set up to now. But I want to ask it because it's kind of how I pitch you guys. It's kind of how I gear the show. But what do these two dogs bring to your lives? What kind of value do they bring?
Oh, my gosh. Everything. They are family. I feel like both myself and Amber have learned so much just having Banjo in our lives. Because he's been in our relationship the entire time we've been, you know, together. I mean, so much love and joy. Dogs, you know, as you know, if you're having a bad day, they always cheer you up because they're kind of never having a bad day.
Yeah. Love that.
You can leave the house for 2 minutes, come back, and it's like the first time they've ever seen you.
Yeah. I love that. Similarly, I've often asked, you know, is this dog good for your mental health, or, you know, is it an emotional support dog? And I want to lead you to this question because I know this is a breed that sometimes will drive you crazy.
Absolutely.
So do they add to your mental health, or do they kind of add to the decline of your mental health?
I'd say it's in the middle. I remember, you know, when he was a puppy, and there are things that I will never, like art pieces that I can never get again that he's eaten. But you, like I said, you just can't get mad at him. Dogs like that kind of train you to be a little bit more above and beyond and go the extra mile. Just having the responsibility to take care of something so precious it's really rewarding at the end of the day. So no matter how insane it gets with that dog, you just got to remind yourself, like, it's going to be worth it in the end. The loyalty that dog will bring it's worth its weight in gold, you know?
All right. Love to hear it. All right. Well, let's cut to the zoomies. That's the last five quick questions. The first sure. question is, do you kiss Banjo and or Hocus on the mouth?
I absolutely do. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Not shy about that.
You're one for one. That is correct all answer. Right. Question two is, do any of them have a theme song? And before you answer that, going back to social media, I will give you the lyrics to something. He's a hound-headed boy, a real hound-headed boy. And it says, when you have pets, you make up songs for them. This tune Banjo hears often.
Yeah, I do. I have lots of songs. A lot of them are just a stream of consciousness. Some of them stick. I like that one. That's one of my favorite ones for Banjo. I'm probably going to go sing it to him right after this too. Hocus, I'm still in the process of writing some lyrics for Hocus, but he's got some hits coming up.
Okay, good. Well, I'll give you credit too. Loving You is a big song for me to my dog, whether it's word for word or inserting his name that I was made for loving Char. So
I love hearing it.
So thank you for that. Question three is, in your world, you've got tour riders, you've got endorsements. You know, if these dogs were on tour with you, what would they insist be on the tour rider? Or if they were to be given an endorsement, who would they love to endorse?
I think if I were to bring a dog, I think Hocus would be the tour dog because he's a little bit more compact and can probably fit into a bunk on the tour bus. What would be on his rider? Plush toys, for sure. That dog will never get sick of chewing toys. And obviously treats. Dogs love treats.
Okay. Question four is, do you have a dog voice for the dogs? Do you speak to them in, I mean, this is more two-parter. Do you give them like the cutesy voice? Or the second part is, do you speak through them or personify them? Like, what would they sound like if they had a voice?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of both. Yeah, my wife and I have actually asked each other, what do we think that they would actually sound like if the dogs talk? But no, I think talking to both dogs, it's not necessarily like a baby voice, but it's just it's a different voice for sure. It's not the voice I'm talking to you with.
Okay. And what about, what does anything come up in particular when you talk to your wife about what they would sound like? I mean, I'd immediately go to like somebody who's tweaking. I mean, if they've got so much energy.
That's Hocus for sure. I feel like Banjo maybe is a little bit more judgmental. Yeah. But Hocus definitely has the tweaking kind of voice going on.
Too funny. All right, last but not least, is there a dog organization or service that you'd like to shout out?
Yeah, that one that I had. So I personally haven't had the opportunity to rescue any dogs, but a purposeful rescue is one that my friend, she's been involved in fostering dogs for a very, very long time. Reached out to her and I was like, is there anything that you would recommend? And she's like, this one for sure.
Oh, great. Great.
Yeah, all right, we'll trust her judgment.
We'll put that in the show notes with a little bit of information. All right. Well, we can wrap it up. Let's give Canons a little love. What's in store for spring and summer and beyond?
Yeah. So in March, we are doing our first time traveling to Europe. We've got a handful of shows in France, England, and Germany. And then for the rest of the year, we have a lot of fly dates at different festivals. We'll be busy pretty much the entire year doing a whole bunch of different festivals.
That's great. That sounds like, yeah. Sounds like fun.
Yeah, it'll be great.
Well, I'll congratulate you on a lot of success because, like I said, I hear you guys all the time. I listen to a lot of Alt Nation on Sirius XM, and you guys are inescapable in a good way. And I can only imagine how it feels on your end. So congratulations. Much luck in the future. And thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, Tim, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. And I'm glad we got to make it work out.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it,
too. Yeah, absolutely.